Hello, and welcome to AI Curious. My name is Jeff Wilser. I'm a journalist, I'm a human, and I am curious about AI. And as regular listener to this podcast might know, one of my favorite questions to ask guests is, hey, how are you using AI in your own personal life? And I find that kind of cuts through a lot of the kind of very vague, abstract, hype type blobby stuff in AI and gets to the quick of what people are actually doing like right now in their lives day to day. So this episode is kind of a synthesis of what I've learned so far. We're looking at 10 experts and seeing how they're using AI in their lives. And I think it's instructive and possibly, hopefully useful for you to kind of give you ideas of what you could be doing, how you can inject AI into your workflow. One quick disclaimer or real, I guess, retraction. I said 10 experts, it's really 9, because one of the 10 is how I am using AI, and I obviously am not an expert. So it's really 9 experts plus one weird AI podcast host. So with that, I will start first. How I'm using AI in my day-to-day. Mostly, it's ChatGPT. ChatGPT-4. I am splurging the $20 a month for the pro version. What I'm not using it for is actually writing for me. I'm a professional writer. That's generally how I pay the bills. So maybe it's professional pride, maybe it's stubbornness, but I still have my hands at the wheel when it comes to writing prose itself. But I do use it extensively to help brainstorm ideas, suggest structure and angles for stories and for research. So let me give you one concrete example. When I had an assignment to write an article about kind of a historical look at a very famous hack in crypto's history, a big Bitcoin hack that happened like a decade ago. And the assignment was to write kind of the story of how and why it happens 10 years ago and why it mattered and kind of make that engaging, entertaining. But then also share in the aftermath how this massive hack that was like billions of dollars in today's value of stolen Bitcoin, how this impacted the crypto space. For those who are curious, it was called Mt. Gox, MTGOX, and it is still like a notorious hack in the crypto world. So I wrote that, I did the research, but I asked it for ideas of, hey man, what do you see as interesting angles here? What are threads to follow? What are questions I should be asking? What are the repercussions of Mt. Gox? What are issues that are still relevant today, 10 years later, and on and on and on. And it spat back like 15 to 20 different angles for the story. And I had thought of a lot of them, but not all of them. And I was like, huh, okay, that's an idea I hadn't thought of. And that was super useful. It could also even suggest sources. I said, hey, what are types of people I should interview for this? Who do you think would be useful to speak to? And it gave back a dozen different categories of potential interviewees. I wrote every word, but it was very useful to kind of, as kindling, to kind of get the ideas flowing and to suggest some options I hadn't thought of. It's also really good for research itself. Obvious caveat, obvious disclaimer. ChatGPT does make mistakes. They, for whatever reason, people refer to them as hallucinations. They're mistakes. They make shit up. So what I never do is take what ChatGPT says and then use that as gospel or use that as my primary source. It is a starting point, not an end point. I always double check things, triple check things, find other sources. Often as one hack, you can just tell it, you can ask it, interrogate it and say, hey, please give me links to sources. And something that's funny, sometimes when you do that, you'll sniff out as bullshit. It will say, oh, I'm sorry, paraphrasing. I don't have a source for that. And actually I can made that up. So asking and pressing for sources is a really good way to sniff out bullshit in ChatGPT. But even with those issues and imperfections, still super useful way to kind of as a starting point for research. And then you could even ask it, hey, what are some ways to get further research? What other lines of inquiry should I pursue? What other sources? What do you not have access to that I would? Just a really, I mean, think of it as a free research assistance that is eager to do all kinds of stuff for you, but occasionally makes mistakes. So you have to double check everything. Okay, that's it for me. I know that's only a few types of things I do, but I do that a lot. Okay, that's enough for me. Let's get to the rest of our experts, the actual real experts. One trend here, I think one cohesive through line through most, if not all of this, is people are using it less about what it's usually advertised for, as in like just cranking out contents, cranking out, you know, writing. There's some of that, but more often than not, people are using it for things like thought partners and exchanging ideas and sparking ideas and kind of a way to almost having someone else in the room with you to help you tackle a problem or a puzzle. And it's kind of just a free partner, conversational partner. And that is eager to do so much work for you. That's, I think, one of the through lines. All right. So with all that said, let's get to how experts are using AI in their day-to-day life. First up is Sam Stevens, the founder of Catalyst AI, an AI-powered project management assistant. She's also the writer of the Prompt and Circumstance newsletter. And I love how Sam has so deeply integrated ChatGPT into her workflow. And honestly, this is kind of aspirational for me.
I have ChatGPT open in my browser. I have ChatGPT, my calendar, and my Gmail all in like my first three tabs next to each other. So it's my constant desktop companion. I find myself primarily using it as a thought partner, whereas I'm trying to, navigate my day across various different roles. I'm a startup founder. I'm an educator right now. As I'm trying to figure out, hey, what's the best way to explain the difference between these concepts to students? Does this explanation make sense? Does this analogy make sense? I primarily use ChatGPT, so I'll put it into ChatGPT and help it and use it to help me kind of frame my thinking and explore an idea to really help me hone it down and distill it.
Next up is Christian Seifertz, a cybersecurity expert. And I like what he has to say about using ChatGPT to help learn a new topic. I have definitely done the same thing.
I think these tools have definitely increased my productivity. I use Microsoft's Copilot in coding. I use ChatGPT in content generation, even in ideation. Or if I want to learn about a particular topic that I'm not very familiar with, I turn to ChatGPT now to help me teach about it. And what I really enjoy there is the interactive nature, where it gives me some content back and I can ask follow-up questions, deep dive. And it's just kind of aligned with my way of learning. But I feel like it has improved my life quite a bit. I'm definitely much more productive. Now, do I feel threatened by these AI systems to take away my job? No, not at all. There is, plenty of work to do in the security field. And so if they're able to make me, 50% more productive, that is great.
So I really enjoyed my conversation with this next expert, Danny Rojas, the executive director of All Star Code, a nonprofit education organization that teaches tech and coding skills to young men of color. And I love what Danny has to say about using ChatGPT as a debate partner, how it helps him find blind spots in his own thinking. And he almost has it like role play, like say you are a skeptic, poke holes in my arguments. I think it's a very cool use case.
Yes, I am a strategy consultant by background and by training. And
we won't hold it against you.
Don't hold it against me. But I think I'm a huge fan of frameworks and ways to position data and information to make it clear, right? Especially when you are driving action or really driving through change, and that's what we're doing at the moment. Generative AI is incredibly helpful as a debate partner, really as a validator. So whether, for example, we're thinking about right now diversifying our revenue strategy and thinking about different ways, just based on what we've learned through conversations. So how we define our go to market, how we define the different sources of revenue. It's something that I love tapping into generative AI to either provide ideas or to actually you're a begrudging sponsor or corporate partner, don't really believe in the mission, find holes around this particular strategy, and it'll come back with some things will be I'll dismiss, but other insights they'll have merit. And it's something that we bring back to the team and then continue to workshop. So yeah, generative AI is an incredibly helpful strategy ping pong partner, if you will, when it comes to some of the work that we're doing.
Next up is Kevin Suris, an AI keynote speaker. And Kevin is clearly a powerhouse user of Gen AI and uses it to knock out much of his content in presentations on his blog and creating materials for his business. And it's clear to see how this is a massive money saver and productivity booster for him. And I can imagine thousands and millions of other types of folks in his space.
You can do a lot with GPT-4. I can summarize a spreadsheet. That's amazing. I can generate all kinds of content. I use it for generating content, summarizing content. By the way, generating much of my presentations. I do 40 to 50 keynotes a year, mostly on AI, but also on disruptive innovation, Silicon Valley style, and also on joy equals success. So I used to go out and hire an illustrator because I needed this illustration that was beyond my ability to illustrate. And for $1,000 in a few weeks, I'd get back, really some wickedly great things that mm-hmm. I could have never done myself. And the outcome of that was it made my presentations really great. Today, I can have DALL-E 3 or Midjourney or Stable Diffusion generate those illustrations in a matter of seconds for basically a penny or less. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now we're talking about upwards of $1 million reduction in cost, a million X reduction in cost. And who knows, almost $1 million reduction in time, right? This is market changing if you know how to use it. It's a game changer. Now, I'm sorry that I'm no longer, hiring the illustrator. I do appreciate that impact. But on the other hand, my job wasn't about hiring illustrators right. or waiting 4 weeks. My job was to get the presentation done. And I have 96 slides and I got a lot of illustrations and I need them all in the next hour. I can now have them in the next hour.
Next up is Ian Laffey, a software engineer who helped build a revolutionary drone in 24 hours for less than $500. And a key part of that was using AI. He also told me elsewhere in our conversation that his programming productivity has gone up between 10x and 100x. And I don't think he was exaggerating.
It just feels like I'm pulling on this giant lever, and so many things that I want to be able to do, I'm now able to do. And it just really drives the cost of creating software down to very, very little. I was working on some really cool stuff with a friend, literally just outputting like whatever a YouTuber wanted, like we would just make it for him. And it's like, no, like we can actually just make that thing in like a week. Like the coding work is just, it's just gone.
Next up is Don Bosco. He's the founder of a startup that makes digital clones of yourself, or digital twins. And he's using his own tools frequently to send emails on his behalf and even supposedly to attend Zoom meetings for him as his like fake digital twin, which I find wild and yes, a bit unsettling, but hey, teach their own.
Mostly I'm using our stuff like in terms of anything, reaching out to people or responding to emails, all clone powered. But then like outside of that, like one example is like I use it to creatively brainstorm like when I'm doing a painting, for example, right? So if you think about like painting, like the hardest part, if you think of it, is like painting from imagination is basically impossible unless you're a Da Vinci or something, right? And so that was why they were such geniuses and I'm not, is that I can't paint from imagination. I need to see a reference. And if I want to paint something really specific, you know, like a concept I have, well, I would need to go and like create references of that, or I could use Stable Diffusion to basically make a reference of something I want to paint to understand, okay, how are the shadows falling exactly on this person's skin and in this image in my head. That's one way I'm using it.
Next up, Denise Osgore. She was named by Forbes magazine as a 30 under 30 for her work in retail and e-commerce. She's now a partner at AI marketing firm Evercopy. And I definitely relate to what Denise says about how ChatGPT is her new default starting point. It's kind of where she begins projects at times.
I mean, professionally, I guess it replaced Google for me. whenever I search for something, I usually use that. I just for fun sometimes create creative ads. Sometimes just for fun because I like the spirit. I like great code, so out of profession as well, just for like my own fun, I use that. I use AI mostly to just show where the technology is at with my, you know, to my parents, basically, mm-hmm. to my sister who is just a non-techie person. Just so you know, and they act like they're just the first human. So, but they ask these stupid questions about their boyfriends and I mean my sister especially. So, and my you know my mom about how to cook something. It's just like super super beginner questions, but still it's so fun to watch them discover stuff and try to catch. I think that's the most fun that I'm getting from AI today.
Next up, Dr. Frederik Redelbacher, Managing Director of Symbolon AG, and she's working with the German Research Center for AI. She built an AI coaching tool, and she uses that tool for her own personal development. I think her larger point is really interesting, that whether you use her tool or not, I like the idea of using some kind of Gen AI as an accountability partner. And I'm guessing we'll see much more of this in the future as the space develops.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm using our tool. It's funny because I developed it, but I still do it every second month. And I'm still surprised by the coaching. So this I love because I think, how can you develop something and then still be surprised, but it it works. So I use this as a regular hygiene for my own cleaning, being oriented, making my steps clear. So that's one of the routines I have. I use ChatGPT on a daily basis for my writing tasks, for example. So these are tools that I like and that I integrate. Yeah, so, and I play around a little bit with what is available at this point. I mean, the development is very fast. So what you do today is you can forget in 2 days and then new stuff out. So it's a continuous learning and exploration.
And finally, rounding things out, we have Vasagi Kothandapini, VP of AI training at RWS. And she reminds us, I think, something crucial, that AI is more than Gen AI. It's more than ChatGPT. It's more than creating images. And we are all using AI in our lives for better or worse, more than we realize. It is very here, very present throughout.
GPTs are one I've definitely been using since it was launched commercially.
Mm-hmm.
The next commonly used one, in my day to day is like obviously like emails and not just my official emails, even Gmail, like the Smart Composer, grammar checks, meeting note summarization, transcriptions. In fact, there's an interesting feature I noted the other day. This week was like pretty full for me in terms of my calendar and schedule.
Sure.
Apparently, the Copilot popped up and said, "Hey, looks like your week is really busy. Is there? can I summarize something for you? Can I find a time?"
Oh, it was being it was being proactive. Yeah. It was like, "Hey, boss, you've had a busy week. How can I help?"
something like that, right? I guess it's more and more like they're becoming your partners through Copilots, right? Who can actually help. So all good things, right? So that's on the professional side. So personally, obviously, I've been an Apple user, use my iPhone and the watch. Some of the things I really love in terms of AI features is like the facial recognition, right? So you have your face scanned and you can use your Face ID across all your apps, which is such a lifesaver, right? without that, you would have to remember hundreds of passwords and, you know.
There you have it. Thanks for listening. Thanks again to all of our experts who came on a while ago. This is fun to revisit some of our prior conversations and insights and kind of pull some common threads together. I hope it's given you some ideas of what to use AI for. Also, I'm curious, what are you using AI for? How are you using it in your life, your workflow, or for funsies, for the hell of it? Let me know. Drop me a line at old school email at jeff@jeffwilser.com. Hit me up on Twitter/X at Jeff Wilser, JeffWilser. So thanks again. As always, feel free to subscribe, leave it 5 stars, all that good stuff. Thanks again and see you next time.